Welcome to the Ogletree Deacons Podcast, a quick digest of compelling legal issues and practical insights delivered to you in less than 20 minutes.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this Ogletree Deacons Podcast. My name is Karen Tynan, and I'm counsel in the Sacramento, California office. Here with me today is Kevin Bland, a shareholder in our Orange County office. Kevin and I have both been practicing in the area of workplace safety for quite a few years. We decided to put together this introductory podcast for safety managers, human resources professionals, and C-level employees who are responsible for dealing with workplace safety. So, Kevin, can you give us the elevator chat about your background that makes you a fit for workplace safety?
Sure. So I have a little bit of a different background than most attorneys of practice in this area, as you know. I started out in the field as an iron worker at a local 433 in Los Angeles, went from that into the crane business and did Kalosha certifications and quadrennial load testing and all of the things that go with that. That's when I really started getting my feet wet in Kalosha. And then I'd get sued by attorneys that really didn't know one end of the crane from the other. And so I said, hey, I should go to law school. I might be able to do this stuff.
And you're making me smile.
And so with the law school and with the whole idea of working in the workplace safety practice arena, representing businesses, construction companies, you name it, against the state of California.
Gotcha. So for me, you know, I spent 10 years in the Merchant Marine before I went to law school and went on kind of a family track for a bit. And I ended up defending employers and been practicing in this regulatory area for about 10 years. And like you, I enjoy the technical, the mechanical aspects of it, understanding construction. So that little bit of a different background, my 10 years working on ships and your time on cranes and as an iron worker, I think really make us uniquely positioned for this. So here in California, tell us a little bit about how workplace safety regulations are enforced. Give us that big 50,000 foot view.
So we do see trends within California when it comes to enforcement. Right now, the pendulum seems to be swinging in the direction of tougher enforcement. They seem to be focused on IIPPs. They're focused on heat illness. We see a lot of things like a lockout, tag out, and those types of things. The other difference in enforcement that I see that have trended over the last 5 years, starting with the Brown administration and now seeming to roll into the Newsom administration, is there's a tendency to do more wall-to-wall instead of pinpointed, hey, I got a complaint about this saw. They go look at that saw and say, oh, there's nothing wrong with it, or it needs guarded or whatever, and get the heck out of it. And they either issue a citation or they don't, they move on. Now it seems that they are wanting to inspect the whole place over one single inspection.
Walk in the front door and just have a plethora of areas to look at, would you say?
Correct. Now, part of that, when I have this discussion, I know you do too with clients, is that if it is a complaint, I know we're going to get a little deeper, and if it is a complaint, sometimes they may take you to two or three different places because there's a portion of the labor code that says don't do anything that could identify who the complainant is. So don't panic on that. You'll know, but whenever they're there 3 days looking at every single machine, it's gone from that simple complaint inspection to a wall-to-wall. So we see a lot more of those, what I'll call comprehensive inspections.
So let's tell the listeners a little bit about how an inspection typically starts.
Wait, there's people listening to this? Now you tell me? Go ahead.
Yes, we do have listeners, Kevin. And by let's see, we're 5 minutes in, they figured out that you're the fun guy to do podcasts with. So I want to give listeners this feel for what can cause a Cal OSHA inspector to show up at their front door. Is it accidents? Is it that there are particular industries that they're interested in? Tell us a little bit about that.
It's all about all the above, but there are definitive rules within the labor code that prompt inspections. One is a formal complaint. What does a formal complaint mean? That means either an employee of the company or its representative, meaning a union representative, that employee is covered under a collective bargaining agreement. That's a complaint. They call, it's anonymous, and they roll out on the complaint, or they send you a letter. I'll talk about letters in a minute. Another is a referral. We don't see that often. It's where, let's say, the immigration department comes out and they say, hey, there's something unsafe. I'm referring out OSHA to come out. Very seldom see that. I can count on one hand, maybe.
I've seen it with the labor commissioner once or twice over the years. Not often.
Not often. Yeah, but that's a referral. The other is what's called a programmed inspection. That can take many different forms. But programmed is the idea that you are randomly selected for an inspection. Now, sometimes these are done, they say they take this geographic area and we're going to do, for example, a heat illness sweep in the summer. And they will go from job to job to job that they can see, or location to location. And that's a programmed inspection with an emphasis on heat. The idea of a programmed inspection is random. There's a high hazard inspection. The high hazard unit is a separate unit, but still an enforcement arm. And the high hazard unit has a list of industries that are considered to be higher hazard than what the average industry is in California. For example, logging, roofing, some manufacturing is considered high hazard. And then also, if you have a high XMOD, experience mod rate. What's an experience mod rate in a nutshell? It's basically your injury rate and what they use to determine your premiums in workers' comp are one factor. And if you have over, I think it's a 120, I may have to check that. 120, you end up on this list. So on this list, they are required every year to do a certain percentage of those randomly selected. And so I see more of those right now. They seem to be focused on that because the manpower has increased with Cal OSHA.
Let's talk about a little bit about these inspections. So we talked about what can drive the beginning of an inspection. So let's talk about when that inspector shows up at the work site. What are some of the best practices? What are say your top three, yes, always do this, and then your top three, never do this, you're an idiot? Because I know you'd say
hide,
way.
Hide, lock the door and turn the lights out till they go away.
Stop.
No, I'm kidding. No, I think the most important thing is one, cooperation, right? But controlled cooperation. Know what your rights are as an employer. Know what the division's rights are as an enforcement agency. And know what the employee's rights are. And if you're union, what the union's rights are. So the number one thing that I believe is so important is when Cal OSHA shows up, do not get intimidated by the fact you have a state person here, regardless of when they throw out the warrant and they throw out they have the right to be there. Just say, excuse me, we have someone that handles our Cal OSHA inspections. Can you please set an alarm and wait and we'll get them? Now, they may be someone within your company that's been trained. They may be Karen or I that you're going to call, or whoever your workplace safety attorney is. They might be your safety director that covers five different plants and they're at the plant in San Bernardino and Cal OSHA's at the one in Orange County. So there's an adage in their own, when I say they, Cal OSHA's own policies and procedures that says the inspector must wait a reasonable amount of time for the person that does the representation. And so that's number one. Make sure you know that you have a right to have them wait. And wait for
And you're being cooperative, right? We're being cooperative in all this. And we're saying, hey, here's our designated management representative. And they're going to take you around. Just have a seat here. Can we get you something to drink? So that's about the cooperation. Give me a couple more points for employers on best practices when there's a person at the door showing their badge, showing their identification, Kevin.
Remember, you're in control of the inspection. You may not know what they want to look at. Find out why they're there. They're doing opening comment. Is it a complaint? Don't be afraid to ask. What brings you here? Is it a complaint? Is it a programmed? Is it an accident? Why? Why are you there? And then once you find that out, if it's not a complaint, you can say, okay, it's a program. What do you want? What do you want to look at? And take them there. Guide, you are in control of the inspection. It's not the time to ask questions. Oh, I've been trying to figure out how to comply with this. Can you show me? No, it's not consultation. It is enforcement. And that's it, as long as you keep that. But you can be professional.
Absolutely. Cooperate.
Another thing that we see this so often in safety professionals that do this in safety consultants, a little practice tip, if you will. If Karen or I, being attorneys, write down on our notes everything that's said, what is said, what our impressions are, no one can ever get that in discovery. It doesn't matter if someone it could be the DA. They do not get it. Now, if your safety director or your safety consultant makes notes and impressions, for example, oh, good, he didn't see the guardrail down. That is discoverable because they're not an attorney and you don't have a privilege. There is no privilege there. Without doing too far in the weeds, if it's our agent that we hire as a third-party consultant with the anticipation of litigation and they go in, that is our work product. So that's a way for us to protect their writings up to a certain point. If they're ever going to testify and do a report, all that's out the window. But if it's going to be a consulting expert for us, it's not. I don't want to get two more. Oh,
we'll get there in about four or five more podcasts.
Okay, all right. But there is that.
So let's talk about, and I've seen this too, the kind of top three mistakes. I see sometimes employers will immediately get combative, and that's just not the way to start an inspection. Yeah. Or I'll see an employer and they'll say, oh, you want to go see the chipping machine out on the yard? There it is. Go ahead. Head there.
Yeah, by themselves.
By themselves. I'll see employers that aren't really prepared for an inspection. They come across a little flustered. What other type of things do you see that you want to give employers that are listening? A couple of tips about the never-evers, the don't do this, the take a breath and focus on the good things we need to do, but don't do X, Y, and Z. Yeah.
Well, never let them see you sweat. I mean, in all seriousness, be calm, cool, because you have nothing to hide. Even if you have something to hide, you don't have nothing to hide at the end of the day. Facts are facts, and you can't do anything about them. Control the situation, but do it in a very professional, polite way. Don't offer information. If they ask a question, don't be afraid. If you really don't know, don't be afraid to say, I don't know. That is something that Jessica handles, and she's not in the office. When she gets back next week from vacation, I will find that out. Don't be afraid of that. Or if they go through and they start asking questions about, hey, what's the difference in heat stress and heat stroke? Don't be afraid to say, oh, I don't recall. I've been through this class four times. I'm a little nervous. I can't remember right now. That's okay.
And that's a great example because I think, don't forget that when you're being, okay, sip your coffee a little louder, Kevin.
I'm going to be That wasn't coffee. Thanks for covering me on that.
The inspectors are writing down everything and you may accidentally make an admission. If you say you don't know something, it's being written down as Kevin that operates machine number four says he doesn't know. Right.
Right. Right.
And we don't want that. So I like those pointers, Kevin. And I think that we'll go deeper into some of the processes in some other podcast. One thing I want to ask you about is when the inspectors will be walking around or talking to people and then they'll start asking for documents. And then there's this flurry of activity for getting documents and it's a bad copy or it's a legacy document that's not up to date. What can you say about when the inspectors ask for documents and give you that document worksheet?
Okay. Number one is there's very few documents that you actually have to have on hand. One is your heat illness. That has to be provided immediately upon request. Two are your 300 logs. You have 4 hours to produce that. And I believe that is the only two that I can recall off the top of my head that you actually have to have. And when they ask, give it to you. There may actually, if you're in healthcare now, under the workplace violence regulations, there's a couple new regs that may come out.
Typically, and this will be our last question for this podcast, typically also in addition to documents, these inspectors are going to say, hey, I want to interview Jim Bob on machine number 4, Mary Ellen on machine number 5, and your safety director, blah, blah, blah. What do you recommend as far as interviews? Give me your pointers for these employee interview requests. What do you do?
I always say, yes, we want to cooperate as a company. Keep in mind, it's the employee's right, not your right, Mr. or Mrs. Kalosha, not our right as the company or the company representative for them to interview, not interview, be interviewed. So we want to make it convenient for them. And a supervisor, they're an agent of the company. So I'm going to control. We can control as their attorney. I'm going to be in the room defending that. And then we'll talk with the employees and work on a time that works for them, because there is something in the labor code that says you cannot unreasonably interrupt a business for the inspection. And another little sneaky tidbit that people forget about, the only unscheduled inspection is the first when they show up. Everything else can be set scheduled in time. It doesn't
the
have to be
everything else.
Right. And so you just take a time out. And I think we're going to talk about fatalities and things later. So there's some things we do different. This is generalized, but don't allow them to be intimidated into making it sound like Kalosha has the right to interview. That's not how the law works.
Okay. So Kevin, does a union have a right to be in on an interview for one of their represented workers?
Sometimes, not always. And I'll tell you why I say sometimes and not always. If the employee is covered by the collective bargaining agreement, and that's the agreement between that employee and the company in which the inspection's occurring, they have the right to attend the walkthrough, to attend the interviews and go through that. However, give you an example. Let's say you're on a construction site and you've got the iron workers union, the carpenters union, and the pipe fitters. The person that is injured or the company that's being looked at is the iron worker business agent, has an absolute right because they're contracted and they're part of the collective right. But the pipe fitter, just because they're a union, not. Where we see it most, though, is I see this in ag, where a union is trying to organize a group of individuals that are non-union, and then they try to insert themselves in as if they actually do represent those employees.
Yes.
That is a no. No, they are excluded. Period, period, period.
That kind of is a good stopping point. We have a series of these podcasts that really gives people an introduction. We've talked about how inspections start, the walk around, documents, interviews. We'd like to thank you for listening. We have many other workplace safety podcasts, including our serious accidents in the workplace. We have our California rulemaking podcast, and we have our podcast about the actual administrative hearings. So tune in for that. Say bye, Kevin.
Bye, Kevin.
Thank you for joining us on the Ogletree Deacons podcast. You can subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes or through your favorite podcast service. And remember, the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not to be construed as legal advice.